All right, well, we have an amazing young person here that's going to be communicating, bringing the word tonight. I'm excited about it. His name is Alex Worth. Look at that round of applause. This is Alex's last, like, normal GM. He'll be here next week, but this will be his last, like, GM service. And so we're going to miss him a lot. He's been doing a ton just to bring the community together and help build relationships and keep people, keep our retention rate, right? People coming back together and all the stuff that he's done through the check-ins and planning center, all that stuff. But even more than that, just his love for people, his heart for people is really huge. And I hope you guys see that when you see him. You see how much he really cares. I know he can be a little weird sometimes and sarcastic, but he's an amazing person who has a big heart for people. And so I really encourage you, just set your hearts at receiving right now as he brings the word. Get out your notepads, get ready to write down notes, and just receive from Alex. Let's give him a round of applause.
I don't know who paid you guys to cheer so loud, but I appreciate it. Thanks, Josh. Daniel, means so much from the beginning. No, guys, so this week I was talking to a family friend of ours, my family's, and he was asking me, like, hey, what are you preaching about this week? And I was like, oh, I'm preaching about identity. We're in a series. He's like, oh, that's cool. He's like, what's your identity? And I was like, oh, let me tell you about my sermon. So I, like, started telling him about my sermon and stuff, and he, like, interrupts me, like, five words in. He's like, what's your identity? I, like, sort of gave him, like, the cliche, like, Christian answer, like, I'm a child of God, and, like, all that good stuff we all sort of say to people. And, like, again, he interrupts me, like, five words in. He's like, no. What does that mean? Who are you? And I was like, made me think a little bit. And so that's what I really want you guys to think about. I'm not going to call you up here and ask you like that. But just as we're going through a series past 2 weeks about identity, and I'll be talking about it tonight, but really just asking yourselves, don't let yourself give yourself a cliche child of God answer. Yes, you are. But what does that really mean to you? And then we're going to be diving into that a little bit tonight. So let's open a word of prayer. Dear God, we thank you for this time together. God, just bless this time and help my words to be from you, God. And just help us to keep our hearts open to you, God. Help us to seek you in new ways tonight and then this week, God. And just help us just to find more of you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. So as much as my body tries to keep me from it, I still believe I am a runner. So it has deterred me greatly. But I have no screws in me now, so I'm getting back on track. So I still think like a runner in some way. So I'll be giving a little analogy tonight. If you've ran, you'll understand. So in running, at some point, if you've ever been in a race, James knows he's a track athlete. When you're racing, at some point, your coach, teammate, whatever, will tell you to, like, get behind someone, because they're wanting you to duck in and, like, draft off them. If you ever ran in windy conditions, you know exactly what I'm talking about. You might think, I mean, it's not that big of a deal. I'm telling you. It's a big deal. I've seen people, like, as tall as me, like, run a whole race crouched over just to get behind the person in front of them, because that wind creates, like, extra draft, and when you're trying to race somebody, you can draft off them a bit. And like I said, it makes a huge deal. No, so in that running, I've seen people who are not as fast as someone, but they've been able to beat a faster person just by drafting off them, just because they stayed behind him the whole time and, like, let the other person do all the work. And so in life, I feel like we can do it sometimes with, like, who we are, with our identity. We can hop in behind someone. We can stay in someone's shadow. We can sort of let them do all the heavy work, so to speak. We can sort of stay in their shadow and just sit there. Because in running, if that person behind, the reason he stays behind is because he knows he probably can't beat the other guy if he goes out in front of him. You know, maybe he likes his ice creams and his pizzas throughout the week. He hasn't practiced as much. And so he stays behind him because he knows he's not as strong as the other guy. And so sometimes we can do that. We're scared of stepping out, because when we step out behind that draft, it exposes what we've done or what we haven't done. So in running, it exposes maybe you haven't been practicing. Maybe you're not in shape. Maybe you're just slow. Any of those things. But in life, sometimes when we take that step to step out behind someone, when we go and take the win on full force, our weaknesses can get exposed. And I feel like in our society, weaknesses just in general are frowned upon. You're not supposed to have weaknesses. You're not supposed to have bad days. You're supposed to be on your A game every game. And so we all try to hide those weaknesses in a sense. At some point, we all try to draft in behind someone. And so that leads me sort of to my first point, is your identity is not protected by lies and deceit. It is revealed by truth. So just as stepping out and running reveals how in shape you are, our identity, when we step out from behind maybe our lies and deceits, the truth is revealed. And so I ask you a question. If you have to deceive others to keep up your identity, is it really your true identity? What I mean by that, sometimes it's not just bold-faced lies. Like, I don't come up to Micah Barber and say, "Micah Barber, I am the greatest basketball player to ever live." Sometimes it's not just as blunt as that. No, but sometimes you might see a person, you know, oh, I want them to think I'm a little bit better than who I am, so I'm going to act a little bit different. Or, you know, with our parents, like, oh, man, I want my parents to think I'm an angel. So when I go home, I'm not going to start talking bad or anything. You know, all that stuff. If we have to lie and we have to deceive others to keep up our identity, is that really who we are? And on the flip side, what is revealed by truth? And then, like I said before, I think our weaknesses are revealed by truth sometimes. And so the question I ask you, as Christians, how can we have an identity if we have a weakness? How are we supposed to be proud in that identity if we have a weakness? So I want to read you a verse from 2 Corinthians, chapter 12. It says, "But he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in my weaknesses, in insults, and hardships, and persecutions, and difficulty. For when I am weak, then I am strong.'" For when I am weak, then I am strong. It's an interesting concept. And so that sort of answers the how we can have an identity. Because Paul just says, God's power works through our weaknesses. But why would Paul go so far as to boast about his weakness? And whenever I read this, I always think about that, because when I get an image of someone boasting something they're almost proud of, this is so great, I'm going to tell you about it, they're boasting about it. So I always thought, why would Paul go so far as to boast about it? To answer that question, I want to read you another little verses from Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 to 3. "Since then, you've been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things." And this next part is the part I really want to focus on. "For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God." Now, that word hidden, for me, at my house, Easter is a big thing. Easter egg hunts are a big thing. When I think of the word hidden, Easter egg hunts are the first thing that comes to mind. Now, I don't think you understand. My dad goes like full CIA, like mind-boggling. He will cut out a hole in the loaf of bread. Cut out a hole in the bread, put in the egg, put the end pieces back on the bread, put the loaf in the bag, and toss it in the pantry with all the other loaves of bread. He'll unscrew a light bulb, put the egg up in the socket, and like screw in the light bulb just so where it's still hanging there, but the egg is not visible at all. I am telling you, it is bizarre. When Easter comes around, and it's like, I still do Easter egg hunts as 18. When Easter egg comes around, you just get this sense of dread. Like, I cannot express to you how many tears, how many times you just sit there, you have questions about life, the purpose of life, why am I here? Easter egg hunts for me are like a 5-hour process at least. And there's only like 9 eggs. So, just to give you a picture of that, it's a rough ordeal. No, so when I hear the word hidden, that's what instantly comes to mind. That's what I think. And so when I think of, obviously when something's hidden, usually are seeking for something, you're looking after it. So when I think of seeking after a life hidden in Christ, or when I'm seeking after that, I think of the amount of energy I put into something as stupid as an Easter egg. How hard I search for that, where I'm tearing apart literally every can in our pantry, looking for the little plastic egg. And I think of how much I devote into that. And I think, that's the picture I have in my head when we talk about seeking for Christ. And so I want to propose to you my next point. It's just this. You never find your identity by chasing after it, because it's hidden in Christ. And so we only find it by seeking after Christ. And it's not that Christ hides himself, but it's that when we continue to seek after him, we find more and more and more. And that when we try to find it in ourselves, it almost doesn't work. And so I started thinking back in my life of the times when I've tried to seek out my own identity, when I've tried to build it myself, when I've tried to maybe protect myself with some lies and like, oh, I'm really good. I'm do this, I do that. And I compare that to the times where I sought God and let him control my identity. And for me, I saw a big difference. And I started thinking, man, what if it's not just me? And so I want to give you guys a couple examples. Last week, Reed was talking about Gideon a lot. And so Gideon, as Reed was talking about, lowest of his family, family's lowest of the tribes lowest of the tribes. He's lower than low. He's like the ground floor, and then like 20 stories below that. That's Gideon. No. But Gideon, you know, he's sort of fearful. He's thrashing his, you know, his whatever he was doing, wheat, whatever it was, I don't remember. But he was doing it in secret, in hiding from the invading army, because he was scared of that. And so he's chasing his identity, sort of, and his weakness, like his fear, is being exposed, because he's hiding. He can't even go out in broad daylight to harvest his crops. And God comes to him, and he says, Gideon, this is who you are. And God tells him that. And Gideon's like, no. And God's like, no, this is who you are. And so Gideon is faced with a situation where his weakness, maybe the identity that he thought he had, is exposed. And he has a choice whether to trust God with that weakness. The Apostle Peter, he was a fisherman. Like, I don't know what that correlates to, like, today's day and age, but, like, a fisherman was, like, a man's man. Like, they, like, tough, grit, like, that's fisherman. And so that's who he was. That's what he made his life after. And he goes out one night and catches zero fish. That's like LeBron James not scoring a point the whole season. If you're going to say you're good at something, you got to get at least one. And so Peter has this night where he doesn't get anything. And God comes to him the next morning. This guy named Jesus walks up on the beach and he's like, yo, cast your net on the other side of the boat. And he's like, does this guy not think I tried that? Like, felt 50 times? Like, this is what I do for a living. And Jesus is like, no, cast your net. And so he tosses his net and the boat breaks pretty much from all the fish. And so then Jesus said, come follow after me. And Peter is faced with a situation where his identity is being questioned. His weakness is exposed, and he has a choice whether or not to trust God. Another guy in the Bible you might know, Moses. He, and we all know the story, shoved down the river into the Pharaoh. But it's, Reed, your iPad's wigging out. What happened? I'm good now, I got it. No, Moses gets tossed down the river, right? And he's always sort of, the Bible says, you know, he's a little bold, doesn't really think through his actions too much before he goes into it. And he's walking along one day, and he sees an Israelite getting beat up. And he, like, does a little double take, and then just kills the guy beating him up. Like, that, you know, that's, you gotta be a little crazy to do that. No, and then later God comes to him through a burning bush. Cool, by the way. I don't know, I always thought that was cool. Comes in the burning bush, and God says, I want you. I want you as my leader. You're gonna lead my people out of Israel. And Moses has this situation where he has to decide whether he wants to trust in God. I think you guys are getting my point. I'll only do one more, but the Apostle Paul, back when he was, that's one of the most obvious examples, when he was the Apostle Saul, and he's chasing his identity as a Christian killer, full out persecuting people, and he literally and figuratively gets the living daylights knocked out of him. The guy couldn't see daylight for 3 days, that's how he got hit. That's how he got hit by God. No, but then, you know, God starts putting a new identity on him. And Paul has this situation where he has to decide whether or not he wants to trust God. And the thing I really want to push to you guys is that God didn't take them and change their weaknesses. He didn't take them and just change it and make everything good. He wasn't like, Moses, I know you're a little here, but I'm just going to change that. You're not going to worry about that at all. You have no more weaknesses. No, see, Just as Paul said earlier, God used each of their weaknesses and showed his power through their weaknesses. Gideon, he was still fearful. In fact, in the night after all this training with his army, after God's told him countless times, you know, gave him a couple miracles and like, you got this. Gideon still, God had took him out to that battlefield that night to reassure him that he was going to be victorious. Peter was this hot-headed guy, like just off, you know, off-the-cuff guy. When they arrested Jesus, he goes and chops off the guy's ear, just like reflex. Like, how's that for a reflex? And God's like, let me just put that right back. No, but the name Peter, when God changed his name from Simon to Peter, Peter means rock. And the Bible calls Peter the rock of the church. Can you imagine that? A guy who's just sort of hot-headed, always going around, he becomes something sturdy, a rock for the church that the church was built on. Moses, to go into the kingdom of the land and start casting stuff over the land, that takes some boldness. That takes a little bit of crazy. And God uses that weakness. Saul, his weakness was he didn't know God. When he got confronted with that, what did he do? And then God used that because God took him and Paul started going after everything. He had that same passion. As much as he pursued Christians to kill him before, he was not pursuing non-believers to get him to Christ. God doesn't take your weakness and just fix it. He shows himself through it. And I think that's a big thing, because without God, our weaknesses are just that. Areas where we are weak. But with God, he shows himself through them. And I think that's why Paul is able to say, when I am weak, then I am strong. And I think that answers the why of why should we boast in our weaknesses? Because God shows himself through that. So what stops us? If it's really that easy, just of, oh, I'm weak, God's going to show up, kill it, that's it. Why do we still struggle with that? Because fear can paralyze us. We're afraid of what other people might say about our weaknesses, because weaknesses are weak. No one likes to look weak. That's why all guys try to work out, get muscles. They don't want to look weak. No, but I thought I'd just throw that out. You know, just something that came into my mind. Not calling everyone out or anything. I'm looking at you, Josh. I mean, yeah. No. So when I start thinking about what stops us, that's when things get interesting. So I want to share a little story. I have this weird little trait about me. I have this thing where I'll start zoning out, and I'll like zone out, and I don't even know what I'm thinking about. And I'll look, like friends, I'll look and just like look at the curtain over there. And that curtain will instantly make me think of something completely random. If you've ever gotten a text from me from like 3 o'clock in the morning, that's exactly what happened. Reed has got like 15 texts from me over the course of like this past year at like 4 o'clock in the morning. And what happened was I rolled over, I saw my alarm clock, and it instantly made me think of Reed. It's random. And so I had one of these, and sometimes there's like correlation, sometimes there's nothing at all. And I had one of these moments, right? I was looking through Instagram, through the search feed, and I came across a post from Marvel. Now, how many of you guys enjoy Marvel movies? Okay. How many of you guys don't enjoy Marvel movies or don't like them? Okay. All right. Not everyone's opinion is valid. No, I'm kidding. I personally enjoy Marvel movies. I'm not a diehard superhero guy, but I think they make good movies. I think you at least have to admit that they make good movies. Anyways, the point was, you know, that Marvel had their 10th year anniversary. And so this Instagram post was a bunch of the posters they released. I don't know if you guys know what I'm talking about. But it was these posters, I think the name was like More Than Posters. Anyways, it had two of them, the two main ones, were like all the Marvel heroes, you know, Iron Man, all that kind of stuff. And the big title was like More Than a Hero. And then they had all their villains in one post, and it was More Than a Villain. And then it was trying to get you to think of, like, the whole cinematic universe. And then it broke it out, and, like, each character had a poster. So, like, Iron Man was, like, sort of a picture of Iron Man more than just a suit. And I was like, oh. And it was, like, Captain America, and it was, like, more than just a shield. And, like, when you're looking through all these, like, if you've seen the movies, you're like, oh, Like, you're in like that feeling welling up, like, this is cool. Anyways, at least that's what I had. Anyways, no, but as on like the third poster I looked at, I had one of these moments where all of a sudden I started thinking of something completely different, and that was this sermon, and I'll explain why in a second. Because think of it this way, I noticed a trend in all of these things that the thing that they're saying they were more than was sort of what we, like the fans, would all sort of call like as that one person's downgrade. Like Iron Man, oh, he's nothing without the suit. It's Captain America, he's nothing without the shield. And like, I think Bucky's one was like more than a weapon. And he was like, he doesn't really do anything in the movies. He's just this. And I realized that, in a sense, Marvel is the creator of like all these characters through their writers, through the comics, and whatever. Like, they're the creators of it. And so they're coming in and like combating what everyone says about their characters. They're saying, hey, Iron Man is more than just a suit. Captain America is more than just a serum. And, like, you get the point. They're going through. And it made me think of, this is what God does with us. He looks at us and says, you are more than fill in the blank. You are more than a sinner. You are more than just someone who's broken. You are more than just a mess. And as they're thinking about this, I think of how God does that. And then, what if I told you that there's a verse about that? How cool is that? And the verse is, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? If your body is more than just the clothes rack, do you think that God has something for you? If life is more than just food, do you think he has something for you? And so that's what I think God is saying. He's looking at you. He's looking at us. And he's saying, you are more than a weakness. And as we were talking about last week, he said, you're more than a weakness. You're a masterpiece. And he's looking at all our things. I don't know what it is for you. You fill in the blank. But he's looking at it and he said, you are more than that. And I think the world around us likes to change from the word. The world tells us we're less than. The world tells us that we're just a sinner. We're just someone who makes mistakes. We're just a mess. And God's coming in as our creator and saying, no, you're more than that. You're more than just that. And I think that's the thing that I want you guys to leave with tonight. Are you willing to let God speak that over your life? Are you willing to let him believe what he says? Because I think sometimes we don't want that. We like to believe in the lies by ourselves, about the identity that we have created with the lies and deceit. And God's wanting to come in that and reveal that with his truth and says, you are not just of this world. You are more than that. You are my child. And I think that God does this with us on a daily basis. And so that is how we beat the fear. Because God tells us, he says, hey, you're more than this. You're more than this. So my question just tonight, I want you to think about, are you ready to stop chasing your own identity? Are you ready to stop trying to make that on your own? Are you ready to stop building that with your lies and deceit? Are you ready to step out from the person you're behind right now? Are you ready to stop drafting off someone? And are you ready to take it full on? Are you ready to trust the identity that God gives you? Because when God came to Gideon, Gideon didn't trust him at first. He was telling him, no, that's not who I am. I can't do that. I can't do that. And eventually he did. Moses, in one area, Moses never trusted God in one area. That's because he didn't think he could speak. And so God eventually got his brother to do it. So just because God shows us doesn't mean we always just trust it. So that's what I encourage you tonight. Are you willing to trust the identity that God gives you tonight for your life? Melody, you guys come up, start playing. And just the thing I want to end on, it's just what I just said, is this last week, Reed was telling us about the masterpiece, that we're not just a chiseled mess. We're not just the slab of stone, but that God says we're more than that. We're more than just a stone. What we see as just the chips and the divots and the breaks, God sees as his statue, the statue that he's making, his masterpiece. And see, the problem today is that people view their past as worthless and their future as hopeless, rather than seeing the present as valuable, their present selves as valuable. Because God didn't come to all these people and say, hey, I want you 5 years down the road when you figure yourself out and you're fully chasing after me. He came to each one of them and said, you're valuable now. I want you now. You are more than just a fisherman. You are more than just someone hiding out. You are more than just someone running away. So I feel like that's what God's saying to you tonight. He's saying you are more than your weaknesses, than your mistakes. The things that everyone else says about you. The things that, oh, this person isn't good because they had to do this. This person could never be this because of this. And God's coming in and saying, no, you are more than that. You are more than what people use to tear you down. If you guys could just bow your heads with me tonight. I just want to give you an opportunity. If you don't know what I'm talking about, if you've never accepted that new identity from God, that this sense of being valued, this sense of being wanted, the sense of someone giving you a fresh identity, if you don't know what that feels like, if you've never accepted Christ, would you just raise your hand? Anyone here tonight? I see you. I see you. That you don't want your identity anymore. You want your identity to come from God. I just want you to pray this prayer with me. If everyone could just repeat after me. Dear God, I see my mistakes, and I won't let them control me anymore. I give them to you, God. I confess my sins. God, show your power through me. Lead my steps. Be the Lord of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, if you guys could just stand up, just take your chairs, put them to the side. Don't talk to anyone. Come right back. We're not done yet. Just come right back up here to the front, guys. See, I want to make a second call tonight, because I feel like there are people in here who maybe they have accepted Christ for the first time, but they've gotten lost. You started believing lies about yourself, about your identity, maybe even creating those lies yourself. And I feel like there's a couple people in here tonight who need to be reminded of who they are in Christ, of who God says that they are. And if that's you, if you are ready to step out from behind that draft. And it's scary, because when you step out, your weaknesses might get exposed. And I just feel like there are a couple people who, just like those guys in the Bible I was telling you about, that tonight they are being confronted with a situation where their weakness is exposed. And they have a decision whether to trust God with that, whether they want to let God work through that weakness. And so, guys, I just want to encourage you tonight. If you listen to nothing else, your identity first and foremost is that child of God. And God is a good father, and a good father loves and values his children. So if nothing else tonight, know that God is looking at you right now how you are and saying you are valued. He's not just waiting for you to fix yourself in a week or a month or a year and he'll use you then. He wants to use you now in the weak state that you might be in. Because he wants to show his power through you. For when you are weak, then you are strong. So if that's you tonight, if you want to just get that new identity back, if you've lost your way, if you want to seek God and have him give you that new identity, I encourage you, come pray with one of the leaders in front. But don't leave tonight without talking to God, without searching where your soul comes from. Your life is hidden in him. Come find it tonight.